This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow online at cvilletomorrow.org. And if you are a regular listener of Brian Wheeler and you've never checked out that website, shame on you. There's lots of good stuff there, audio, video, podcast, lots of newspaper. I'm sorry, not newspaper. Lots of news articles, better than the newspaper. Really good stuff, and they cover growth and development issues here in our community. Brian Wheeler joins me on Tuesday afternoons to talk a little growth and talk a little development. How are you, sir?
Coy, good to be here.
Good to have you here.
How's your golf game?
We should let folks know we were talking before we went on the air about which we got a Wii for Christmas, and you've had a Wii for a while. Mm-hmm. So your family's like already like a well-established Wii family.
We are.
And I finally picked up that Tiger Woods golf game.
And, glad you took my advice. Is your shoulder hurting?
Yeah.
Your muscles
feel because you really play.
Yeah, you do.
Somebody was asking me about it, like you, because you can play that game with just a...
The controller.
Just a controller, like sit on the couch.
Like a joystick.
Yeah, but with a Wii, you actually swing, you actually putt, you take the thing and hold it like a golf club, mm-hmm. and you hit just like you're golfing. And it reads your movements and your speed and everything. It is all I can say is spectacular. And
I just moved to the next level in the game. So I've been competing on the PGA Tour, and now I'm at the top of the money list. And I just made it. So I'm my next. So you go into your little objectives, and my objectives now are to win two major tournaments, two of the majors. That should be easy. And then I have to be like at the top of the money list, and I have to qualify for the FedEx playoffs. It's a lot of pressure, Coy.
It is pressure right there in your living room.
But you can create your own character. So
I didn't know that. I thought you had to like pick one of the people they have on the board there.
No. You can create your own. And mine sort of looks like me. I think he's better looking.
Yeah.
And you know, better physique. But
Well, he's a professional athlete, Brian.
He is. And he's got sponsors and everything. I mean, I switch clubs. You go check your sponsorships to see who's going to pay you the most. So I just switched out my irons and my shirt and my hat.
So this is amazing because I don't know this whole aspect of the game. I've just been hitting the ball around. And what's cool, if folks have never played this, it actually lets you play on golf courses all over the world,
mm-hmm.
different golf courses. It simulates them for you.
Yep.
It is truly amazing.
Well, it's funny. I was flipping the channels over the weekend, and the real PGA Tour, the real golfers, were in Hawaii. And they showed this scene from the tee. And I said to my kids, I said, that's such and such hole at such and such course. It looked identical to the Tiger Woods game. It was amazing.
It's just like the video game.
Yeah.
And this is so funny because I honestly haven't played video games really since Space Invaders. I mean, since Atari in the 70s was the last time I was in front of a TV set playing video games. And so this is a lot of fun.
Now, I don't want people to think I'm a nerd at the home, you know, at the house all the time, just sitting there on the video games. But my son Sam has just taken up golf over last summer.
Good for him.
So he and I are going out. We've been out a couple times to play, and it's fun.
My daughter plays this Tiger Woods thing, and she's very, very good. Mm-hmm. She's a natural. And she got like two eagles in a row one time. And she looked at me and she says, I can do this. I can do this, Daddy. I said, I know. You should go golfing. So now her big thing is, I'm ready to go golfing. We going golfing? So we need to get her out on the links.
Excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Good stuff. Hey, Brian, we were just looking at the Brian Wheeler is with me from Charlottesville Tomorrow. I was just looking over at the Hook blog, readthehook.com/blog, with their breaking news from the Hook newspaper. And they have some interesting news they posted. Looks like they posted just today. This is not good news, and folks may not know about this yet, but this is really bad news, actually.
I read one of the stories today, and it's about the Landmark Hotel, Halsey Miners Hotel, the 9-story building, coming up on the downtown mall. It's in the old Boxer Learning site. Before that, I guess it was it Central Fidelity? Is that right?
I have no idea.
I think it was a bank before.
Yeah, it was a bank, eventually.
And
back there
so
somewhere.
It's right across from Central Place in the Fountain.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it may be a skeleton for quite some time.
Yeah. The Hook story says, two sources tell the Hook that over 100 workers have been furloughed as construction on the luxury Landmark Hotel in downtown Charlottesville will come to a halt as early as Thursday, and the site may remain dormant for as much as 60 days, a construction worker told a Hook reporter, the only work we're doing now is getting it to where we can just leave it for a while.
So, you know, Art in Place now has a new feature exhibit, right? Arden Place.
Oh, Arden Place, yes.
Arden Place.
That's really bad.
You know, the headlines may go back and forth on this. This isn't the first time they've said work is over.
Yeah.
And not that I don't trust the Hook's reporting on this, but we've seen this headline before, so we'll keep an eye on this.
Oh, that's bad. That there's the economic slowdown right here in downtown Charlottesville. That thing could just sit there for months.
Spreading everywhere.
Oh,
you know,
man.
That the economic consequences of what we're dealing with right now. So,
oh, man, that's not good.
Interesting to watch.
Yeah. So,
but the BRICS, they're keeping that project moving.
Is that happening?
That's happening.
I haven't been down there to see that yet. I've seen some pictures. But
moving right along.
Is it?
Yep.
So when's that supposed to be done? March?
April, May.
A little bit longer?
Yep.
There you go. So just in time for Fridays After 5.
And if you go to mydowntownmall.com, that's by far the best pictures and play-by-play. Every day they say what they're doing and they have pictures of it.
Oh, really? On the website?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So check it out.
Where are they working now? Where are they, like down by City Hall?
They've got two different blocks blocked off.
Okay.
So they're working right in front of the Nook and the Men's and Boys Shop.
Yeah.
Right in that area.
Down
they're working
on the
in front
east
of
end.
Chaps and Virginia National Bank.
Okay. Towards the middle.
And I think those may be the two big sections right now. But they're pulling the bricks up. So far, you know, the play-by-play is that the slab underneath is looking in pretty good shape.
That's good.
And they're certainly making a lot of noise putting in the new conduits. So they've got a cut into the concrete slab to create, you know, slots to lay down the new electrical conduits because they're putting in all new wiring.
Oh, so they have to cut into the concrete slab underneath the bricks.
Yes.
So that's what's so loud.
That's very loud.
Because they're tearing up concrete.
Yep.
Because it's not loud. It's not loud to pull the bricks up.
Well, you got a big, you know, I don't know what those things are called, backhoe kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's on like the tank treads. And so every time it backs up, you know, it's beeping. And
oh, Lord.
I mean, it's running a diesel engine, so it's not quiet.
Do you remember back in the day, back in the, in the mid-90s when folks really started living downtown over the storefronts and people were complaining that the city sent around the leaf blowers in the morning?
The little Zambini that goes up and down the mall.
Yeah, and they were like complaining. They're like, you want us to live downtown, and yet you wake us up at dawn with these leaf blowers and these beeping things. I just can't imagine what it's like now.
Yeah.
Probably a lot worse.
I mean,
but it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it.
Keep it on track. We'll get it done as quickly as possible.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. A quick break. More of this when we get back.
I know you're enjoying Corey Barefoot's magnificently entertaining and informative program known as Charlottesville right now.
Brian Wheeler is with us. It's Tuesday afternoon. We're talking a little growth and talking a little development. Yet in the case of the downtown Landmark Hotel, we're talking, according to The Hook today, breaking news, no growth and no development, as The Hook reports that over 100 workers have been furloughed, and it looks like construction on the hotel is going to stop for as much as 60 days while the thing just sits empty and just sits there. Not good news. Not good news at all. Brian is with us with other growth and development news. Where should we start here?
Well, the supervisors have been talking about job creation, the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, and jobs with local food, which I think is an increasingly interesting topic around here. The Piedmont Environmental Council has been involved in this Buy Fresh, Buy Local campaign. Have you heard about that?
Yeah.
So
that's a national thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And in Virginia, if you go to locally, it's even better. The website is buylocalseville.org.
Ooh.
Buy Local Seville will get you to the website. But, you know, they're trying to get different grocery stores buying local produce.
Yeah, amen.
Trying to get restaurants using local produce. So the Jefferson Area Board for Aging has, I think the number is, I think they've decided to buy 20% of their food locally.
Wow.
So they've just set an ambitious goal as an organization to buy local food, 20% local.
One out of five meals they serve would be
That's
local
right.
food. Wow.
So they need some help to do that, though. And one of the ideas has been to put a local food hub, a sort of a clearinghouse for local food to come to a warehouse facility where it can either be prepared and sent out immediately to grocery stores and restaurants or industrial users like Java, or it could be canned and preserved for future sale.
And would it be like a grocery store too, where they could put it on a shelf and you could walk in?
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe.
Like a true local grocery store.
I don't know if they would, you know, package it and brand it and say, you know, buy Charlottesville brand.
Because I'd buy it.
I think a lot of people would.
Yeah. If it was easy as just going to a different store, you know, and you knew where it was coming from.
Of course, people are going to be pretty price conscious of those things. Yeah. But if there are other users like a Jabba buying a lot of volume, that'll bring the prices down. So the idea behind this movement is to not spend the energy to go long distance to get your fruits and vegetables or meats, whatever. Chipotle in the Barracks Road Shopping Center is buying pork locally. So when you buy a burrito there, you can see a sign at the cash register, you know, this pork came from such and such farm.
This pig slaughtered right here in Nelson County.
I wasn't going to say it like that, but... Well, yes, Coy, that is how it works.
It's amazing, though, how we're sort of going back, isn't it? I mean, this is how you used to do it.
It is.
This is how you did it for so long. On market days, folks would fill the court square in downtown Charlottesville with all their wagons full of stuff, and you would just go down there. That was the store. You'd go down there and go from wagon to wagon.
Well, it's funny. I was talking to my cousin who works at a local food establishment, and they sell Brunswick stew. Did I say cousin? I meant my nephew.
You did say cousin.
My nephew.
Yeah.
My nephew works at a local food establishment. They sell Brunswick stew. And apparently a lot of the staff there are like, what is Brunswick stew?
I was going to ask you, what is Brunswick stew?
Well, you just sort of...
Is it beef and potatoes?
Put everything from the farm into a pot and stir it up, and you can put meat in there if you want. You got
a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, it's a, you know, vegetable meat extravaganza.
A hodgepodge experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he knows all about Brunswick stew because... The Jeans family, which I've talked about from Danville, Virginia, they used to take all the produce from the farm and the pigs and the chickens and make Brunswick stew.
Right.
But they would go to the local cannery and bring everything there and then make cans of Brunswick stew and then dish it out to the whole family. So the family, you know, on the shelves would have can after can after can.
Did you ever eat it? Is it good?
And I made it.
Really?
Yes, I did. I got to participate. And unfortunately, we didn't have the farm vegetables from our farm. But so we had to sort of truck them down there from, you know, Kathy's Produce here in Charlottesville. I remember we had a huge station wagon full of tomatoes, and we couldn't find a local cannery. So we drove somewhere down near Chatham, I think, and went to the cannery there. I've actually filmed the whole thing so that we could document making the Milam
family tradition.
Brunswick stew. And it was fascinating. You know, you got these huge pots, you're boiling everything, cutting everything. But anyway...
Out of Little House on the Prairie, Brian.
But those canneries used to be all over Virginia.
Where you could get your things canned because that's people were doing it.
That's right. Because it would spoil unless you canned it.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to do enough volume, the cans made a lot more sense, I gather, than jars.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know how extensive the local food hub being proposed, and there's one being proposed, back to my story here, in the Ivy Business Park. So that's off Morgantown Road. It's the old Detter Edwards facility. Used to be where Mailing Services of Virginia was. And
down near the school?
Past Murray Elementary School.
Yeah, by Murray. Yeah.
Right next to the Faulkner Construction Project, which is being cleared right now.
Yeah.
So there's a warehouse there not being used. One of the ideas is put a local food hub there. The organizers behind this came in front of the Board of Supervisors and said, hey, back in January 2007, you set up this Jobs Opportunity Fund. How about we tap into that for this project?
What a great idea.
And get a grant to set this up.
Did they like the idea?
They asked for it to come back. They were generally enthused about it. There's some question as to how much that really met the original intents and purposes of that Opportunity Fund, which was something Ken Boyd championed when he was first coming on as chairman of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. And you may remember that in that month, Coy, in January 2007, the board made news by joining the Chamber of Commerce. And at the same time, Mr. Boyd set up this $250,000 fund.
Of course I remember.
I say Mr. Boyd, but it was a 4-2 vote by the Board of Supervisors. And at the time, Sally Thomas and Dennis Rooker voted against it because there was some concern about, you know, saying, hey, we want any and all employers to come to the community. And there's been this debate about, are we trying to tackle unemployment? Are we trying to tackle underemployment? And are we trying to create career ladder jobs? Are we trying to use this opportunity fund for job training?
So they don't know yet.
And that's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So now, 2 years later, they're trying to figure out the criteria for this fund. And they've got some interesting applications in front of them for ways to put it to use.
I like that idea, though. A local food hub, a warehouse where all the local farms can bring their stuff, get it canned. Folks like Jabba can come in and buy it. Maybe it would be cool if there was a retail aspect where somebody could come in off the street. It, almost like a farmer's market with a roof over the top of it.
And one of the people behind this, besides Jabba, is Kate Collier, who runs Feast Market up on West Main Street. So there is some experience on the retail side.
Yeah.
And I haven't listened to that part of the meeting, but you can tune in on SeavilleTomorrow.org, listen to the podcast, read this story. And I think it is pretty interesting. So you got jobs, you got local food, and that's going to be a story to keep an eye on.
I mean,
this year
sounds like something that would get national attention. As a type of economic model on a local level, because it does so many things. You know, you kill so many birds with one stone. You know,
yeah.
You slaughter so many pigs with one knife,
and you'll probably be much healthier too, eating good local fruits and vegetables.
Amen. There you go. Brian Wheeler is with us. It's Tuesday. We're talking growth and development here in our community. We invite you to join the conversation at any time. Of course, a break for local news and weather. We'll continue this conversation on the other side when we talk about Jarman's Gap Road, Advance Mill Bridge, and of course the water supply. And we'll also talk about what's going on at Pretty Creek. All that coming up right here on Charlottesville Right Now. Brian Wheeler is with us live in studio. We're talking a little growth and development. This is Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. Where should we go next? Transportation? So
you know Bill Murray in the Groundhog Day movie? Groundhog Day.
Yes. I had to think for a minute.
Bill Murray wakes up every
morning.
He's
also in a movie where there is a groundhog who's a main character.
That's Caddyshack.
Yes. So I had to think which groundhog. Yes. Groundhog Day, one of the best movies ever.
So he wakes up, he relives the same day over and over and over.
Isn't that a funny show, Brian?
And it was a funny movie.
That is such a funny movie. That'd be a good sitcom. And every week was like another day.
Well, this
is just my idea here.
Transportation funding, for me as a reporter, it's sort of like Groundhog Day. I think I've written or had our staff write the same story over and over and over. And I'm looking back on my laptop right here, and I just found a story from a year ago that says the exact same thing that we just printed.
What is the story?
Jarman's Gap Road improvements could be delayed due to VDOT cuts.
Those poor Crozet people.
It is sad. The Albemarle County has three road priorities at the top of their list. Meadow Creek Parkway. I mean, that one's moving forward. So Faulkner Construction has the contract
for
that portion.
Well, the city's portion is moving forward.
That's the county's portion.
What?
County's portion is Faulkner Construction. That's moving forward. The city's portion, McIntyre Road Extended.
Yeah. Through the park.
Through the park.
Up to Melbourne.
With the interchange. That's still
the county's building their road down to Melbourne?
The county's moving forward with their part of it.
So they're going to go ahead and build the road that connects Melbourne.
Well, they want
to,
it to all happen
like
at the same time.
Dunlora, up in there on KTAC.
It would start there, or depends how you look at it.
Yeah.
It would start or finish there and go to Melbourne Road at Charlottesville High School.
Right.
Interestingly, the boundary between the city and the county sort of jogs south right there, ensuring that that interchange at Melbourne Road is in the county.
So the county can go ahead and put its road right in there.
Well, and that's not why I'm saying that. I'm just saying that the county's going to have to deal with that problem down the road.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean.
Because that's going to be...
Oh, it's going to... It's crazy to spend tens of millions of dollars on that intersection at McIntyre and 250 to go a few hundred yards and traffic stops at Melbourne.
So 40 years later, that project seems to be going somewhere.
Right.
Jarman's Gap doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
Is that on the list of the top three?
Yeah, that's number two. And then Georgetown Road is number three.
Right, right.
And they might be flip-flop. Georgetown's probably going to move faster. Georgetown Road is in the Jack Jewett District. It's up Hydraulic and connects Hydraulic to Barracks Road.
Yes.
And
it's a good cut-through.
It is. And at this point...
I use it as a cut-through.
And at this point, all they want to do is put some better sidewalks and bike lanes on it.
Well, you got tons of kids up there walking to the school.
Right.
You know?
But that project, they're down to $3 million is all they can spend on that. And anyway, Jarman's Gap now was projected to be advertised, meaning they're putting out the contract, please bid on it. It was projected to be advertised November 2010, and now that's going to be delayed. And so we announced the same thing a year ago when VDOT came to the meeting and said, we just lost 44% of our funding and these projects that are at the top of your list, you have not accumulated enough money for them. We can't help. So they're just going to sit and wait. So they're saying the same thing again. The guy, Alan Sumpner, is our local VDOT administrator. He came to the Board of Supervisors last week. He said, you know, we'd been planning on having $20.5 million for all the projects around here. Now we're down to $15.5 million. So something's going to have to give. And he said Jarman's Gap would be one of them. So the reason it's a problem for the people in Crozet, they're not trying to add new lanes to this road. They're just trying to make it safe for pedestrians and bicyclists. And connect downtown Crozet with all the new residential development that's happened west of Crozet.
Right.
Bargerman Park, Gray Rock, Old Trail Village.
Yeah. Every time I'm on that road, you see somebody walking or some kid riding a bike out in the road, you know?
Well, and there's some very narrow parts of it. The picture we put on it on the website was pretty generous. It shows a sidewalk that's definitely in need of repair, but there are other parts of it that are very narrow. And one of the challenges is VDOT has to acquire the right-of-way. So it's going to impact property owners along Jarman's Gap. But it's been seen as one of those infrastructure improvements that should have been required up front. It should have been required to get a proffer from the Old Trail developer and other developers.
Yeah.
To help.
You want to build a new neighborhood? We'll help connect that neighborhood to Crozet by putting some money up, pony up a little money for a sidewalk.
And the county has gotten smarter. That is happening with new projects like a Biscuit Run, but it didn't happen back when this was done.
Yeah.
So that they didn't get that source of money, and so now they either have to raise it locally or wait for VDOT or just let it not happen.
And one of the Dennis Rooker approach.
Right.
And let those potholes come out.
And so I found a Dennis Rooker quote from a year ago, and he says, quote, "We need to get people yelling and screaming about the fact that they are eliminating transportation funding for localities slowly but surely," although it's not slow anymore. He said, quote, "It's gotten to be a joke." That was a year ago.
Yeah. And I think Virginians need to realize it's happening all over the state. I mean, it's not just here. It's down at Hampton Roads in Northern Virginia. It's awful. And this is a major, major shift. It's a total change in the way that Virginia government has been run at the state level since the Byrd machine came in the 20s and 30s and said, the state is going to do transportation. This is smart. This is good for business. We are going to raise some money and give money back to localities so they can improve their roads. We're seeing an end to that.
One project, however, that seems to be immune from this is the Advance Mills Bridge up near Advance Mills, north of Earliesville. And this bridge was closed, as you'll remember, in April 2007 because of safety concerns.
Yeah.
One lane truss bridge installed in 1943. It's fun to drive over.
Have you ever been over that bridge?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever been over that bridge in a full packed 40-foot Ryder truck?
I think that would be illegal, Coy. No, I have not.
I did. It's really scary.
Well, it's trucks like that that led to this bridge being
closed. Very scary. Allison said, "You're crazy."
VDOT did announce today, they put out a press release that said the Advance Mills Bridge replacement is moving ahead. So some of these safety projects and infrastructure projects like bridge safety in particular, they are moving forward. But they're having to take all those dollars and put it on those specific projects.
Yeah.
In the end, this community will have a two-lane bridge over the river there. But again,
railroad tracks.
No, it's over a river.
That's over a river?
That's over a
river.
I thought
it was over railroad tracks. Nope. Advance Mills?
Advance Mills is over water.
Oh, okay.
I was standing on that bridge during Pi Day, Coy.
Oh, really?
We took pictures of the water.
That's pretty up there, isn't it? That's a pretty part of the county.
It's very pretty.
But so that's been closed now, so all those poor folks who live near there have been driving around.
And it's a long way around.
Yeah.
It's a long way for school buses. People have come forward and said, we can't get to church anymore because church is on the other side of the river. So the congregation has been suffering from, you know, not having its membership being able to get there.
So what's the time frame on this, on the new bridge?
I think the bridge, they're going to advertise immediately, and then the bids are due in end of February. I think the new bridge should be in place by spring of next year.
Wow, that's
spring
great.
Spring of 2010.
And two lanes.
Yes. That's and they're going to try to make it look, a little, have some character, I guess I would say.
Like covered?
Not that much character. They can't afford that.
This is Virginia, boy.
I think they're going to use Velcro and put some...
We don't have that much character.
...fancy things on the side of it or something.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can learn more online about all of these stories at cvilletomorrow.org. A quick update on the water supply plan?
Yeah, not a lot to say there, except that there was supposed to be a meeting tonight of the South Fork Stewardship Task Force. That is not happening, and they have not rescheduled it yet, to the best of my knowledge. So the task force was supposed to complete its work in December. They are still trying to come to an agreement on what's going to be in their final report. There's some differences of opinion among task force members, not a surprise given this project. But they're still drafting the report. They're still trying to get consensus on it. And they will schedule it, I guess, when they think they're close to agreement. So we'll keep an eye on that. That said, Ridge Schuyler, who's one of the members of that task force, used to work with the Nature Conservancy, now works for Congressman Tom Perriello. Ridge Schuyler was interviewed in the Seville Weekly today, and I would commend that interview to people to read. It's a good interview. He goes on the record in detail about some of the origins of the plan and what his thinking was in some of the recommendations the Nature Conservancy put on the table. And Ridge is seen as the architect, one of the architects of this expand one reservoir and connect them with a pipeline.
We need to get him on this program.
You should.
Absolutely. I know we emailed back and forth, I think, a few months ago. We need to work that out.
So that's the water supply.
There you go. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. And what's this about Pretty Creek? What is Pretty Creek?
Well, you may remember last summer we were talking about new parks in Albemarle County.
We can't afford those.
Well, you know, this one was bought in 1969, Coy.
Ooh, really?
They bought this land in 1969. It's up on the orange Albemarle green border. So it's
way
the northern border of Albemarle County.
Up near Barbersville.
It's east of 29.
Yeah.
And where those three counties come together. Most of the land, 452 acres, is in Albemarle County.
It's big.
But they bought Pretty Creek for, any guesses?
1969? 400 acres?
Yeah.
What
would you need that much land for that you wanted to impound something?
What'd they do?
They wanted to have a water impoundment up there, a reservoir.
Oh, so they bought it to put a reservoir in there. Not to do a park, but to put a reservoir.
That's right.
What'd they pay?
I don't know what they paid. But
$25,000?
I think in 1977, they figured out it was too small of a watershed, too little water coming through to create enough of a supply. So the county's been sitting on this land since 1969, and last year, the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors finally made it a park, and now the news that I'm excited about is that the local mountain biking club...
Are you breaking this news right here?
Maybe. I don't know if it's been in the papers.
Y'all break all kinds of news, Brian.
I lose track, Coy. but I signed up. My son and I have also been trying to mountain bike a little bit.
Fun.
So I signed up for the Charlottesville Albemarle Mountain Biking Club email list. I've never been to one of their events. However,
you're on the list.
I'm living vicariously through bicycle rides, and they're busy. They go on rides all the time. So I'm going to do one of these events. But the news from them, and Will Sanford is the president of that club, is that January 24th, which I think is a Saturday, from 9 a.m. to noon, they are going to start building the trails at Pretty Creek for mountain bikes.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So you've got 450 acres in Albemarle County. And they're going to start putting in a massive trail system.
Oh, fun.
For mountain bikes.
Fun.
And, that's you know, right great. Now you've got Walnut Creek, which is a great place to go mountain biking.
Yeah.
That's south of...
Old Lynchburg, yeah.
Yep. This will be an area up in the north. And so I think it's pretty exciting.
That is exciting. That's cool.
I'm tempted to just show up and say, you don't know me, and I've never ridden bikes with you, but...
But I'm on your email
list. I got my shovel, and I'm ready. So if you're interested in that, you can call Albemarle County Parks and Rec. Tucker Rollins is the staff member's name, 296-5844, or give me a call at Charlottesville Tomorrow. But the biking club is getting that going, and it's a volunteer effort. You don't have to bring tools. I think you need to dress appropriately, bring gloves and stuff like that, water.
That's a heck of a lot of trails on over 400 acres. You could go out and ride all day and never cross your same path.
Here, let's see.
That's huge.
453 mostly wooded acres is how they describe it. The initial trails will be 10 to 11 miles of trails. They're going to start building an outer loop trail, and it'll have a beginner loop, as well as other different levels of difficulty.
Now, does the county have anything else in mind for this, or is it going to be like a mountain biking park?
I think hiking and biking would be the two primary activities. The other park we talked about last summer was Byram, which is up in the northwest corner, and that was a recent land donation. So Byram Park was donated in 2004 by Robert Byram in honor of his wife, and that's another park that also Albemarle County is getting ready to start putting in some trails. What's a little different about this is they're not putting in a lot of infrastructure. You know, Walnut Creek has, you know,
infrastructure,
a lake down there that you can paddle and swim on and do those things. This, you know, you've got volunteer groups coming forward and saying, hey, we want to be a part of doing this right from the get-go.
Yeah, yeah. And that's good stuff.
So I think it's pretty exciting.
That's very exciting. So don't look for big picnic shelters or bathrooms or that kind of stuff.
You know, I'm sure that stuff will come, and I'm sure they'll have, you know, they've got to get the parking in. So it's by no means ready to be open to the public. You can't just show up today
with your
bike.
If you want to participate in building a brand new park in Albemarle County,
there's an opportunity,
there
January 24th.
So again, what's the...
And Tucker Rollins with Albemarle County Parks and Rec and his number, and he doesn't know I'm telling everybody this, 296-5844. But he put out an email, and the Mountain Biking Club forwarded that around, and they're trying to recruit volunteers to
And you could just Google Charlottesville Albemarle Mountain Biking Club.
I assume so, yeah.
And find them too. That's good stuff.
So I hope people help them out.
Real quick, meetings tonight. Two planning commissions, right?
We've got two planning commissions tonight. The City Planning Commission is meeting as we speak, and Albemarle County's Planning Commission will be meeting at 6 o'clock tonight. They will be talking about windmills and whether we should allow windmills in Albemarle County as sort of a by right activity that you could do on your property to generate your own electricity and maybe feed some back to the grid.
Why not? Yes.
We'll be talking about that. The staff recommendation is not to do it immediately, to study it for the next 2 years.
Oh, gosh. All right. Thank you, Brian. We'll see you next week. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Cole.
A break for CBS News, local news, and weather. Talk to you all tomorrow.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.